iHeart Podcasts.
Welcome to Part-Time Genius, a production of iHeart Radio.
Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
So, you know how in the 12 days of Christmas, like half of the gifts are just a bunch of random birds?
It's kind of crazy, actually. You've got swans, you got geese, you got turtle doves, the partridge. The whole song is like lousy with birds.
Yeah, or foul with foul, if you want to go full dad joke.
It
makes you wonder what the true love in the song is thinking, right? Like, what are you supposed to do with all this menagerie of birds? So we did some digging this week, and it turns out the answer is you eat them. Or at least that's the prevailing theory, because most of the birds in the song were served at holiday feasts in 16th century Europe.
I'd actually not thought about that. So this means the song is basically just a menu, right?
Pretty much. And if you're the kind of person who's listening to this and your mouth is watering and you're wishing you could recreate this bird-centric feast in your own home, well, you are in luck, because there's a company in England named Heal Farm, and it offers something called the 12 Bird True Love Roast. I've actually got the order page pulled up here, and I want you to see this, Will.
That is something else. I mean, it's kind of like the turducken on steroids is the only way I could describe it.
Yeah, the company calls it a 12-bird roast because it's made with 12 different kinds of birds, one for each day of Christmas. But they didn't stop at just one of each kind, because there are actually 48 birds crammed into this thing. 8 different types of stuffing as well, but 48 birds, it's insane.
Good Lord, this thing must be enormous.
Yeah, and according to the website, the True Love Roast weighs about 55 pounds and it'll feed about 125 people.
Oh my gosh.
But it will cost you. It's $1,100 for the dish, so pretty steep. But on the bright side, delivery is free, and each roast comes in its own large wicker hamper, fully prepared and ready to cook.
I like that they throw in the hamper to really seal the deal. You know, in case you were on the fence about spending $1,000 on a ton of bird meat, now you know it's worth it.
Well, I like this fact because it's such a clear example of just how bizarre the song really is. I mean, I've probably heard it like 100 times or more in my life, right? But it never gets any less strange. And I still don't really know anything about this song. And after asking around this week, I realized I'm not the only one who feels this way. So with the holidays upon us, I thought we could do our part by taking a closer look and then sharing what we consider to be the 9 weirdest facts about the 12 days of Christmas. Fact one is that the song is actually a giant menu, which means we've got 8 more to go. Let's dive in.
Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson. And as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hatikader. And on the other side of the soundproof glass, chowing down on what he claims are 3 French hens. I really can't fact check this one that easily. That's our friend and producer, Lol. He does look like he's really enjoying it. He is kind of giving the game away by drinking out of that Popeyes cup. But also joining us today is our researcher pal, Gabe Lousier. It's been a little while, Gabe. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, we brought Gabe out of exile, but he's actually the one who suggested we zero in on this 12 Days of Christmas theme for today's show. Gabe, what was your favorite one as a kid?
Actually, it was this one. Like my family did this thing where we would sing the gifts like one day at a time. So we'd start on December 14th singing just the first line, the partridge part. And then we just keep adding on one day at a time until Christmas when we would finally try to get through the whole thing. And I mean, emphasis on the try part, like we didn't always make it, but.
That is an amazing family tradition. I love that.
Yeah, practicing the song in pieces does seem like a good way to actually remember that song, but I think you might be doing it slightly wrong, Gabe, to be honest with you.
I like that you just heard about my family tradition and already you have improvements for it. That's really something.
I'm here to help, and it did line up with the fact that I already had on deck, because one thing I always wondered is, when exactly are the 12 days of Christmas? Like, is that even a real thing? And it turns out it is a real thing, but counterintuitively, the 12 days don't end on Christmas Day. They actually begin on Christmas Day, or at least that's how it works in some forms of Western Christianity, including Catholicism. So according to tradition, the 12-day span is meant to represent the period of time between the birth of Christ and the day that the three wise men brought him gifts. So if anybody out there really wants to recreate the song or sing it on the appropriate nights, you would start on December 25th and you would end on January 5th, or sometimes known as the 12th night.
Oh, wow. So 30 years of family tradition straight down the drain.
Yeah, straight down the drain.
No, but I'm actually glad we're getting into some of the history of this song. That sets things up nicely for my first fact, which is that the origin of the song itself is still a big mystery. Like, the earliest written version was a poem in a book of nursery rhymes called Mirth Without Mischief. And the book was published in England in 1780, but historians believe the 12 Days poem is a lot older than that, and it may have originally come from France. But even though we don't know the exact origin of the song, there are a few theories. The best one is that it started as a memory game that kids would play during those 12th night celebrations you mentioned. And basically, kids would gather in a circle and they'd go around reciting the poem one verse at a time, much like my family did, until someone made a mistake. And the player who messed up would be out of the game, and the last one standing was the winner.
So I did notice that you called it a poem just now, and you said kids would recite it, not sing it. So was the 12 Days of Christmas actually written not as a song originally?
Yeah, that's right. It actually wasn't set to music until the early 20th century, so quite a while. And until then, it was just a kind of poem called a cumulative verse. So another example would be that nursery rhyme, there was an old lady who swallowed a fly. You know, she keeps swallowing one thing to swallow the other. And pretty much any poem or chant where you use patterned verses like that to sort of build out a narrative, that's a cumulative verse.
Well, you know, my first fact was meant to do some myth busting. So one thing I've always heard, especially online, is that the 12 Days of Christmas is actually this coded guide to the Catholic faith. So the two turtle doves are really the Old and New Testaments, the six geese a-laying are the 6 days of creation, and so on. The idea of this kind of stems from the fact that from the 16th to 19th century, being a Catholic was a crime in Protestant England. So according to legend, Catholic kids would sing this song as a way to learn about and profess their forbidden faith, while still kind of keeping it a secret from authorities. As alluded to earlier, none of this is true. There are actually a couple key points that poke holes in this theory. For starters, there's no reference to the secret history prior to the early 1990s, which suggests that the whole thing is just an internet rumor that got out of hand. But what's more damning is that none of the alleged hidden meanings make that much sense. Like, Protestants believe in all the same concepts that the gifts are supposed to represent. So the idea of Catholics having to kind of like hide this or disguise these concepts doesn't really hold that much water.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, well, here's a quick one. So we've already discussed how the song reads like a very bird-heavy menu, but there's at least one item missing from the song that definitely would have been on the table in medieval Europe, and that is mince pie. Made from a hearty mix of finely chopped beef, dried fruit, nuts, and spices, these mince pies, or mincemeat pies, they became a Christmas staple in Europe. Now, the pies were traditionally baked in the shape of Jesus's manger, which I'd actually never heard until I was looking into this week, and a little figure of the baby Jesus would be placed on top of each one. Now, they must have made a ton of these, too, because mince pies were actually eaten on each of the 12 days of Christmas. I can't say why the popular pies didn't make it into the song, but it's probably because a mince pie and a pear tree just doesn't quite have the same ring to it. I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah, that's somehow even less romantic than what we got. Like, that is a lot of mince pie. But speaking of which, you know those 5 golden rings? Like,
of course.
It's one of the few gifts in the song that isn't a bird, right? Well, surprise, the rings are in fact also birds. According to bird expert Mike Bergen, the lyric is not a reference to jewelry, but to ring-necked pheasants. So as the name implies, those birds, they have bands of yellowish feathers that kind of wrap around their necks, hence the golden rings, which means that the 5th day of Christmas doesn't actually bring this grand romantic gift so much as it does more birds to eat.
It's so much less romantic. The 5 golden rings line always reminds me of that Eddie Izzard like part in his comedy routine where he points out how people just go crazy for that one line.
I love that.
But and then they go back to forgetting how the rest of the song goes. But you know, we've got 3 facts left to go. Let's take a quick break and then we'll get back to it.
Welcome back to Part-Time Genius. We're talking about the alarming implications of the 12 days of Christmas. All right, Mango, it was your turn when we left off. So what do you got for us next?
So I've got another lyrical misnomer that everyone seems to fall for. First, I want to acknowledge that there are lots of different versions to this song. And that's before you even get to the parody version. So in terms of different takes, like some variants include 11 ships a-sailing instead of 11 pipers piping, or 9 bulls a-roaring instead of 9 ladies dancing. But one gift that's present in nearly every version of the song is the one for the fourth day, 4 calling birds. And that seems like a kind of a sad one once you realize that the birds aren't intended as decorations or pets, but as dinner, as we've mentioned before. And it's odd because you normally wouldn't eat a songbird, right? But the original line apparently wasn't 4 calling birds. It was 4 collie birds, C-O-L-L-I-E. It's an archaic word meaning grimy or black as soot. And in reality, the gift isn't 4 beautiful songbirds, but it's 4 blackbirds ready to be baked into a pie.
Wow, that is pretty different, I think. All right, well, there's been a lot of talk about bird eating today, and so it falls on me to put all of that binging in perspective, I think. So say you want to embark on your own 12 days of Christmas feast, but you don't have $1,000 lying around for a true love roast. It will be a lot more work and some weird looks from your butcher, but you could definitely put together a similar spread for a whole lot less money. And the amazing part is if you stick to a single serving of each dish and you keep the recipe simple, you actually wouldn't come out too bad, nutritionally speaking. So take the first day, for example. A serving of roasted partridge has only about 200 or so calories. A pear is a mere 96 calories. In fact, if you added up modern equivalents for each of the first 7 days of the song, including pheasant for the fifth day, you only have about 2,600 calories. So you could even eat all 12 dishes in the same day if you want to. And so when you factor in all the activities mentioned for the last 5 days of the song, you can actually get that countdown even lower.
So is that what the song's supposed to be? Like, it's 7 days of stuffing your face and then 5 days of desperately trying to work the weight off?
I mean, that's kind of what happens in real life. But that's one popular interpretation, that the whole thing is about one big, long feast and all the activities going on during it. In fact, there's an article in The Atlantic that really leans into this theory. So the author actually breaks down the average number of calories you'd burn during 30 minutes of each activity. So for instance, milking a cow for half an hour would burn about 100 calories. Dancing would shave off closer to 200. Then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got the flute playing, which, I don't know, this may surprise you, that would actually only burn a paltry 68 calories. It seems
you're
like
doing it wrong.
It feels like this a very intense activity. But, you know, if you subtract all those energy expenditures from the 12-course total that we were talking about, you'd wind up with a little over 2,000 calories. And while that's still a lot for one meal, it's way better than the 4,500 calories that would make up the average Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, that's probably closer to what you're looking at for a serving of that 12 bird roast you guys were talking about.
It's a 48 bird, I think.
Oh, excuse me, yeah. And actually, that fits in pretty well with my last fact, which is about the ridiculous scale of gift giving that goes on in this song. I mean, because at first you think, okay, 12 days, 12 gifts. That's, you know, that's a lavish number of presents, but it's not unheard of, right? It's not worrisome yet. This could still be a semi-normal situation. But then you remember, the amount increases with the gifts, right? 2 turtle doves, 3 French hens, all the way up to 12. So now you're at 78 gifts, which is too many. It is just way too many. And then it hits you, right? This is a cumulative song, like I was saying. So you don't just get the new gift of the day. You also get all the gifts from all the previous days all over again.
Wow.
Which means that the total number of gifts in the 12 days of Christmas is a whopping 364.
Holy cow.
And I have to add, if you consider the pear trees as separate gifts from the partridges, which really you should, you add another 12 onto that. So it's really 376.
That is insane, especially when you remember that a large portion of those gifts, They're live birds.
Exactly. And the most troubling part is that somebody spent a ton of money on those gifts, on those birds. Like all those live performers, they were booked for multiple full days. That can't be cheap. And this is kind of a bonus fact, I admit, but there's actually a group of economists who crunch the numbers every year to find out just how much this full suite of gifts would cost. It's called the Christmas Price Index, and it's released by PNC Wealth Management. For 2019, it says these 300 plus gifts, it would set you back $114,651.18. And because I know you're wondering the most expensive item on that list, it's surprisingly the seven swans is swimming. Apparently, swans go for a little over $1,000 a piece.
Wow. And that's even before you have to like find a lake for them.
I was actually going to say like the landscaping fees for this orchard of pear trees that you suddenly own. It's pretty expensive.
Yeah, for as long as a song as it is, like there's a lot that goes unsaid.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but it's also kind of what I like about it. I mean, the lyrics are so specific, and the more time goes by, the weirder and more out of place they seem to us. And yet we keep right on singing them anyways. It is endearing, but because of that wealth index fact and because this episode was your idea, I really think you deserve the trophy this week, Gabe.
Yeah, and to go along with it, please accept this flock of wild birds that we caught this week, Gabe. You have earned them. Congratulations.
All right, thank you, guys. That is just what my apartment's missing, yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's Part-Time Genius. It's so great to have you back on the program, Gabe. If you like our little show out there, please be sure to subscribe to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you go to hear weird facts, and maybe leave us a rating or a review. That would really make our year. From Will, Gabe, Lowell, and me, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful holiday, and we'll see you in the new year.
Part-Time Genius is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.